others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. An elderly lady decided to take a flight and to go visit some friends. When she boarded the plane, she ended up sitting next to a businessman. Not long after takeoff, she took out her Bible and she started to read it and to say her devotion. The businessman glanced over and he said, "Do you really believe the things in the Bible are true?" "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do," said the lady. "Yeah, right," said the man. "What's that guy's name, the one who got swallowed by a whale?" "You mean Jonah?" "Yeah, Jonah. I mean, how do you actually survive for 3 days in a fish's belly?" "I don't know," replied the lady, "but I can ask him when I see him in heaven someday." The businessman was feeling pretty smart. He said, "Okay, but what if he's not in heaven because he went to hell?" "Well then, sir, you can ask him." It's a cute story. It's a story that also has some underlying messages about sainthood that we have learned about and live with. It suggests that our work on earth is done mostly to obtain a ticket to heaven. It implies that skepticism shows a lack of faith, and it speaks of human judgment based on limited knowledge. Today we celebrate All Saints Day. We've got lots of different ways to think about sainthood, ways that people throughout Christian history have taught about it. We remember those well-known saints whose lives are an inspiration to us. And those saints dedicated their lives to following God and to sharing it with others. We are also thankful for the people who have been saints to us, but they haven't been recognized as saints officially. These people are sometimes recognized separately on All Souls Day. Let us together today bring together both of those people who inspire us and help us, and consider the possibility that we all live together in one community of saints. In September, my wife Jane and I took a trip to Ireland. It was called a Celtic pilgrimage. And we went and visited the ruins of monasteries, most of which were built from the 5th to the 7th century. We visited places that were inhabited by famous saints, people like Patrick and Bridget. We also learned about some saints that we didn't know much about, dedicated Christians who made such a difference in their lives. It's always wonderful to get new saints to help us on our journey. Over the course of 3 centuries, the Celtic Christian movement changed Ireland. And there were Celtic saints in Scotland and England and Wales as well. Thomas Cahill wrote many years ago that through their dedicated copying of scripture and other texts, the Celtic monks saved European civilization. And their way of sharing Christianity was through centers that were separated from the secular world, and at the same time they welcomed people who might come to join them, and they welcomed people who might simply stop by for a moment in time, perhaps be nourished as they pass through. And those saints could be very courageous. There's a story about Patrick himself, who lit a fire on the hill of Slane, which was within view of the king's castle on a hill not far away. And he did so despite the decree that the king had given, that only the druids or the king himself could start such a fire. Patrick lived through that experience. Now sadly, the work of these wonderful Celtic saints came to an end some centuries later when marauders attacked the monasteries, still lost many of the followers. But their achievements still matter to us today. It was their work on earth that mattered, their efforts to bring God's kingdom to life in their own communities. As we listen to that story, we know that the work of building Christian community is never finished. Scripture tells of the dedication of the faithful people despite the forces of evil that are always out to get them. In today's reading from Daniel, Daniel wrote about the evil ones, four great beasts, four kings that shall arise out of the earth. But the faithful, the holy ones of the Most High, shall receive the kingdom and possess that kingdom forever. And the Apostle Paul wrote about saints in his letter to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. I think he wasn't just describing the saints that were in heaven. I think he was describing the saints that lived in that space with them. He said something similar in another letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote that the church of God, he wrote to the church of God in Corinth and to those called to be saints. He's speaking about living people, not just those who have been canonized. And we have saints in this time and in this place. It was and is about how we do God's work in the world today. In today's gospel, Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, and blessed are you who are hungry now. It's very clear that Jesus came to support and encourage the poor, the sick, and those who have been downtrodden and mistreated. Jesus didn't mean that the poor would have to wait for some heavenly reward before the blessings would come to them. Because Jesus always taught that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is near. Jesus expected the ones who were better off to take care of the disadvantaged. He expected Christian saints to overcome the evil that had been dealt to those who were poor. The words in today's gospel are not just about the economic issues that people face. We may be drawn to the words, blessed are you who weep now, for we have much to be sorrowful about. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. For Christians today experience times of hate. In fact, sometimes it takes between groups of Christians. Hate and the anger that we experience in this world today is so thick it sometimes seems to me like an early fog that won't dissipate. So Jesus is speaking to us as well. We too will be blessed. We too will be relieved of our burdens. And then Jesus spoke about the woes. Jesus was talking not about whether we would go to heaven or hell. I think Jesus was saying, watch out. Be careful. For those who have been blessed, as we understand it, for those who have wealth, for those who have been successful, have burdens of their own. The wealthy must protect their goods from unseen circumstances like a hurricane, or from some predator, or from some economic downturn. And then, as people of this culture, we live, we are taught that what we have is not enough. We must always have more. Not all cultures have the same understanding of the world. I saw the difference so clearly when I made some visits to Honduras and El Salvador. For I met there some people who I thought were poor. But I'm not sure they thought that way. For they carried a joy, a happiness. You could see it in their faces. They were happy for what they had and happy for the true love of God in their life. Perhaps as we listen to these woes, we might then be more thankful for what we have and not always want more. It can be hard to imagine that we are part of a community of saints. We think we're not good enough. We think we have too many faults. We've committed too many sins. And some of that might come from our understanding of the history of saints. History is so important to us. We learn so much from history. But sometimes, if we're not careful, it might lead us a little astray. Winston Churchill, for example, shared the view that history is written by the victors. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper to understand what really happened. And is it possible that the history of saints has been embellished by well-meaning people in ways that cause us to think we are unworthy? On this trip we took to Ireland, we took a boat to, it was a short trip on a boat to a place called Scullery Island. And we heard about a saint I had never heard about before. His name is Senna. And there's a story that's told about Saint Senna that there was a great and dangerous sea monster that inhabited that island. Saint Senna went to the top of the highest hill on the island and sent the sea creature away with the sign of the cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. For a local king sent a druid priest to cast a spell on Senna. But somehow a huge tidal wave came up and the druid priest was washed out to sea. And Senna started his monastery on that island. It's a story that might be a little bit difficult to believe, all of the parts of it. And yet there must be some truth to it. Perhaps it has to do with the fact that the monster that Senna had to deal with, something a little closer to home, maybe something personal in his life. Saints can be people just like you and me. Saints that have their own failings, their own mistakes, their own sins, and they have to deal with those to follow God. And Columba is a famous saint. And there's a story that's told about Columba that when he was a younger priest, he copied a book of Psalms along with the leadership of an abbot called Finian of Mobile. And Columba, who had a little bit of an ego perhaps, decided that this altar was his to keep. But Finian argued with him and said, he owned that altar. Apparently the story is that this dispute got out of hand. And eventually a battle was fought over this book of Psalter. And Columba had some powerful friends, and perhaps he called upon them to help him deal with what he thought was his due. But after all that happened, after the big battle, there was some understanding that occurred. And Columba perhaps felt guilty for what he had done, or perhaps he was punished and exiled. Either way, he ended up leaving Ireland and going to Scotland. He started a monastery at Iona, a holy place that exists to this very day. And the followers of Columba from Iona spread the gospel of Jesus to many places in Scotland and northern England. Columba brought the words of God through Jesus after he dealt with his own issues. So we might be inspired to deal with our own issues, to live our lives as a community of saints. That's why we remember those who mean so much to us on our faith journey. And today, as we prepare for Election Day, which comes up just this Tuesday, we're inspired by another 20th century saint, a saint whose name is Jonathan Myrick Daniels. For in 1965, Daniels was a student at an Episcopal seminary in the north. But he felt the call to go and join with the marchers in Selma as they fought for the right to vote. He was eventually killed for what he tried to support. Well, as I said, we get support, we get inspiration from those who have come before us, this great cloud of witnesses. The Apostle Paul described the followers of God as a community of saints. And in some versions of the Creed, we say that we believe in the Holy Apostolic Church, in the community, in the communion of saints. Richard Rohr recently wrote that the authors of the Creed suggested that the dead are one with the living. Let us imagine that we are this huge community of saints, all working together, all getting support from each other to bring God's kingdom here to this earth. We're fortunate to be part of a special place, a church that seeks to do God's work in the world, a community of saints. May we continue to be a haven of peace in a time of anger and violence. May we be a community of hope, a place that helps those who struggle economically and bring them the blessing. May we be a place of learning and faith for those who search for God through Jesus Christ.